I'd like to look this morning as we start here in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. This morning, we're going to try to do some comparisons between the King James Version and the NIV. And actually, I'm just using the NIV really because that's the most popular Bible other than the King James. A lot of those sold, a lot of those being used, but they're just the wrong ones. Because the foundation is wrong. We talked about that, the history of the King James, the history of the NIV and the history of all these other Bibles. And I think there's only two sources. You remember that? There's only two sources. Byzantine text, the Alexandrian text, that's it. There's either going to be one or the other. And all of these other texts that we find, all these other versions of the Bible we find today are built upon the Alexandrian text, which is a polluted text. It's no good at all. You don't need that. We need to go back and use the King James because it's based upon the right source, the right text is there. Isaiah chapter 9. I'd like to do this on this verse, if you would. I brought this NIV. I'll take this out of the box, but I hope that it doesn't get away from the mark. This is an NIV, and this one right here is a little green thing. Can you hold that, please? This is a little green demon. Anybody ever seen one of those?
Yeah, amen.
I call that the green demon. That's the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Okay? But what I'd like to do, if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2, and verse 3 in that Bible. I want to read to you what the Bible says here, what the King James Bible says. I'd like this brother, if you would, to read verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 9. I want you to see if you can tell the difference in these two verses, okay? What I'd like you to do. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now listen. Now he's just going to read verse 3. Okay, we'll read verse 1, 2, and 3 so you kind of get a context. And he's going to read verse 3. Verse 1 says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as..." Pardon me. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen great light." Does that sound familiar? I think it does. "They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and hast not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Now, brother, if you just read verse 3, and listen real carefully to what this Bible says.
"You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder."
You're looking at me like, I didn't hear any difference. There's one word that's different in there especially. There's one word in the King James that does not show up in this NIV, and the word is not. You got it. The word is not. And somebody else got it. Yeah, okay. You know, somebody said, well, one little word would not make a whole lot of difference in the meaning of the verse. If you would, keep your place there in Isaiah chapter 9. Look in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and look at verse 3. And I want you to see that one word oftentimes is a world of difference in meanings. Genesis 3, verse 3. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." In Genesis 3 and verse 4, Satan added a word. And in Isaiah 9 verse 3, he took one out. I guess that makes it equal, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It changes the meaning, the total meaning of both passages. When you leave out the word not in Isaiah chapter 9, it totally changes the meaning of the passage. And when you insert the word not in Genesis chapter 3 verse 3, that totally changed it. Did Adam and his wife die when they partook of the forbidden fruit? Amen, they did. They died spiritually. Adam died at the age of 930 years. Somebody asked me one time, how long do you think Adam lived? I said, 930 years. They said, no. I mean, how long did he live? I said, he lived 930 years and he died. That's plain and simple. Back in Isaiah chapter 9, what does this mean? What does this mean? And you can read this in your own time. You can check this out for yourself. The passage here is talking about Christ's birth and his kingdom. It's talking about the time when Jesus Christ came into the world. Verse 2, the Bible said, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. That's referred back over there in the book of Matthew when Jesus Christ walked among the people along the shores of Galilee. And he said, I am the light of the world. And the people saw this great light. And they that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And then he says, thou hast multiplied the nation. And that's what God did to the nation of Israel. God did that. But then it says, and not increased the joy. And here's the point, is that Israel saw Jesus Christ, but they had no joy in him. That's what it's saying. But according to the NIV, when they saw Jesus, they had great joy. That turns it all around. Well, where was the joy of Israel? Was it in Christ? No. Look what it says in verse 3. They joyed before thee according to the joy in harvest. Nothing spiritual there. Just things material. They were joining in the Lord in material things. But they rejected Jesus, who is the light that shined in a dark place.
Right.
And he says, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. There's just many, many changes that's been made in the Bible that takes accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior out of their Bibles. That handout that you have, that's 3 pages. This is also on our website. You'll look at that sometime. There's a lot that I have not added to that website yet. And one of these days, when I get time to do that, I'll try to get that all done. But I want to notice some passages this morning that are not included in the New International Version. And I'll just read them to you here and I'll just ask you some questions about them as we go along. And we're going to go to that handout there in just a little bit. Look in the book of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21. Matthew 17 and verse 21. Here is a verse that is not included in the NIV. The Bible said here in Matthew 17, verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Now, you know what the subject is. You know what the context of this passage is, I'm sure. Because the disciples of Christ could not cast the demon out of this boy. And Jesus came to them and he rebuked the spirit. And he departed out of that child. The child was cured from that very hour. And then in private, the disciples came to Jesus and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said there in verse 21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. But why would anything like that be left out? You know, what he's talking about here in this verse is that there's sometimes special dedication that God requires of you and me if we're ever going to do anything for God.
Right.
He's saying there that everything doesn't come along that's just casual in everyday life and you can be a success for Jesus and just live on. But Jesus is saying there's sometimes that if you're going to be right with God, you've got to give up this world and you've got to live the way God wants you to live. You've got to have your mind and your heart dedicated to Him and nothing else. Or else you won't be successful. But why would they leave that out? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? So you can live like the world and expect to receive the blessings of God. The fact is, you won't get them. You just won't get them at all. Here's another verse, chapter 23 and verse 14. Matthew 23, verse 14. And I've got about three pages of these, so I'm not going to get through these. Matthew 23 and verse 14. Here's another one that's left out of the NIV, left out of this Alexandrian text. Matthew 23 and verse 14. Here's one, and this is, I wouldn't even have to say anything about this, just read it. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater condemnation." Wonder why they left that one out. That's a given, isn't it? Guess what? Did you know making pretense of a prayer and devouring widows' houses? Do you know how much money that is earned on the copyright of the King James Version? It's not copyrighted, is it?
Right.
It's not copyrighted.
That's right.
It's free.
Amen.
You know what these other versions are? Actually, the Revised Standard Version had to be copyrighted after a while because everybody just kept changing. So they copyrighted that so you couldn't change it anymore. But the King James is free.
Amen.
And that the Word of God ought to be free. Amen. I mean, it ought to be free. Look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 16. Here's another one that's left out of the NIV. Mark chapter 7 and verse 16. Mark 7 verse 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 7, verse 16. Any man have ears to hear? They didn't hear. They left that one out. Also, look at this one. I'll just skim down through some of these. Mark chapter 15, verse 28. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, when you turn to Mark 15 and verse 28, somebody asked me one time, "Well, Brother Wayne, how in the world do you get all these comparisons? How do you do that?" And it would bother your mind. You know, if you take the NIV on your left, be sure to put that on your left side, and then put your KJV on your right hand side. How do you just keep comparing those? Well, your eyes would just go crazy looking back and forth. Well, what I do, I put it on my computer. I've got a program that has NIV in it, and I bring it up. And I got the KJV right there by it. I got them linked together. So when you scroll down one, the other one scrolls automatic. And you can just scroll down through there and directly you'll come up with a verse missing. It's kind of time consuming, but it's better than looking back and forth and all that. You know, you can just pop down through there and they'll turn up because they put the number there in some cases, but they just nothing in the verse. It'd just be a number. And that's it. So you can tell. But look here, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. Here is the passage that's left out of the NIV. And let's read verse 25. "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors." They left out verse 28. It's not in there. Why? Well, you tell me. I mean, it's the fulfillment of an Old Testament passage. So why would you want to leave it out? Because they don't want it. I mean, they just don't want it in there at all. But the fact is that it ought to be in there just like the Bible put it. Look in John chapter 5 and verse 4. Here's another one. John chapter 5 and verse 4. This is a little bit of a controversial passage to some folks, but it's not to me at all. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, said, and after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And verse 4 is left out. He says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Let me ask you, do you believe verse 4 is true or false?
Amen.
Do you believe that happened that way?
Amen.
I do. So why do you believe it? Because the Bible said it. But you know, does it really make any sense that it happened that way? Let me tell you something that don't make any sense. I'm saved. That don't make any sense either. Does it? Am I good enough? Why, no. It's God's goodness that's granted me eternal life. Do I believe that happened? I believe it happened. You know what? I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I believe that. I believe the walls of Jericho fell down at the sounding of the trumpet, and there was not an earthquake.
Amen.
Right. Say, well, our archaeologists have proven there's an earthquake. They can prove what they want to prove. They can look at what they want to look at. The Bible says this is the way it is. I think something else, and I mentioned this already. I believe God created this world by speaking it into existence in six literal 24-hour days, and I don't care who says it's not so. You say, well, you're not very scientific. I'd rather be biblical.
Amen.
Because this Bible is going to stand when science is burning in hell.
Amen.
See, that's just the way it is. So we believe it. We believe it was so, just like that. You say, well, do you believe those folks were literally there waiting on the moving of the water? Do you believe a literal angel came down? Yes.
Amen.
You say, well, you're just far-fetched. Amen. Because the Bible said it. The Bible said it. And I can't say anything else about it. That's just it. Romans chapter 16, verse 24. Here's about four or five more down. I'll just get through here because I want to get to this other handout. Romans chapter 16, verse 24. This verse is left out. Romans chapter 16, verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And why would they leave that out? That's a Christian salutation. Why would you want to leave that out? Because they'd have wanted it. They'd have wanted it all. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. In your King James, here's what it says. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Here is what your King James Bible says. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Let me read it to you out of the NIV. Here's what it says. Verse 7 and verse 8 says this. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. You know what they left out? They left out the Trinity, didn't they?
Amen.
And why would they do that? Because they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe this. All said they're Christians. No. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Nobody can be saved without Jesus Christ. You've got to have Jesus to be saved. He has come. He's died on the cross. Jesus is the Son of God. He is. No other one could have paid the price for us. Jesus Christ is God. He became man, took upon himself our sins that we might have everlasting life. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He was buried in a rich man's tomb, and he arose the third day that we might have life. And without him, there is no life. No. No man can be saved apart from Jesus Christ. No man at all.
Amen.
Look at the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 2 and 4. 2 through 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through verse 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. You read yours in the King James. I'm going to read to you what the NIV says. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. I'm going to read it kind of slow so you can kind of do a comparison. And you think what words are left out. Okay? I'm going to read from the NIV. You read yours from the KJV. Okay? I'm reading Luke chapter 11, verse 2. He said to them, when ye pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now what's left out? Our Father is left out. That's the first one. Do you have a Father? Listen, there is an individual salvation that is granted unto us by God Himself. He is our Father.
Amen.
He is the one that has created us spiritually. And then the other part that's left out is which art in heaven. He is in heaven. He is there, the Bible said in Revelation 12, making intercession for us as Satan accuses us. He's also sent His Spirit into our hearts. Another thing that's left out, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Now why would they leave that out? Because they're more interested in getting their will done. And I know that I'm being real mean. But I'm trying to be real truthful and be nice at the same time. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Here's some more that's left out. Matthew 27, verse 35. And as I said, these are some that I've taught. You can get on the internet and you can find websites where they have thousands of these. These are just some that I've found. Okay? And these are some that, to me, are very significant. And I'm not giving you all that I've got. Matthew 27, verse 35. Are you there? I want to read to you what it says in the NIV. Matthew 27:35. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. I'm through. So that's not it. Yet that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. They didn't put that in there. Why not? Well, it's a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Why would they leave that out? Because they don't want you to link the two together. But you know what? The Bible as a whole, the Old Testament, is prophecies concerning what Jesus Christ would do when He came. And the New Testament is fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. Jesus Christ did everything that was prophesied of Him to come. He did it every bit. And everything that He did was His Father's will. And everything that He did was a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. That's just the way it is. Well, let me give you this one. Who was it that killed Goliath? Anybody know? Does anybody know who killed Goliath? Hey, I think Miss Tammy knows who killed Goliath. She's about waving her hand. Yes, she knows who killed Goliath. Everybody knows. Child knows, right? Let me read you this one. The book of 2 Samuel 21, verse 19. Let me just read it to you. And you can turn in your Bible and see this yourself. And by the way, I think you probably ought to. And 2 Samuel 21, everybody's supposed to know who killed Goliath. But I tell you what, when you start changing around the Word of God, What you wind up with is a bunch of confusion. We just ought to leave the Bible the way it is and let God say what He said. We think we all know who killed Goliath, but the NIV hasn't got it figured out yet. Okay. I'm going to read the passage from the NIV. 2 Samuel 21, 19. Everybody there. Okay, here's what it says. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jaarjim, and I don't pronounce words right, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. Now the dear brother here, he has that NIV, and he can, you know, and that's what it says. And you're welcome to look that up when I get through. Now here's a little catch here in the King James. You say, wait a minute, see it says slew the brother of, that's in italics. Right? I wonder why they put that there. They put it in italics so we would understand that it was added and it was not a part of the Byzantine text. They put it there so that we'd understand it was not a part of that. But you know there's a reason why they put that there? There's a biblical reason for that. If you would, look in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 20. And of course a lot of times the Samuel and Kings, they go along with the Chronicles and you've got a double check here to go back and forth between these books. The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 5. And this clarifies the reason that there is italics there concerning the brother of Goliath. That's who was killed. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 5, the Bible said here, there was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan, this is the man, the son of Jared, slew Lamai, the brother of Goliath the Gittite, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. So that's why they put that in there. And what I'm saying is, if you don't rightly divide the word, well, we have hardly anything at all. But let me ask you this next question. This is a real tricky one. Who is Jesus Christ? Isaiah chapter 14. Who? I think everybody here knows who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's the bright and the morning star. I think everybody would agree with that, right? Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. In your King James it says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? That's what your King James says. But here is what the NIV says. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, who once laid low the nations. Who is the morning star? Revelation 22:16. Jesus said here, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am, Jesus said, Revelation 22:16. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. What's the purpose of all of these Bibles? The last days are upon us.
Amen.
Satan has a kingdom. Satan is going to rule this world, and people are going to worship the devil himself. Amen. The Bible said that Satan is going to sit. He desired to sit in the sides of the north. The Bible said that Satan is going to sit in Jerusalem on the throne and say, I am God.
Amen.
You can follow that NIV, but let me tell you, better be real careful. Because you can see right here that there's a confusion about Jesus Christ and Lucifer.
Right.
You study some of the cults and the things that they believe. Now, I'm really not in favor of doing a whole lot of that on account of I have enough trouble trying to get what God says without having to read a bunch of lies. Okay? But I do know this, that in a lot of the foundations for some of the cults, that they believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And one is overtaking the other. I mean, there it is, you see. And so, man, we are in this great, great battle right here. What's coming down right here in the end time is that people are going to follow that NIV Bible. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Think about it. I tell you what, you hang on to that, KJV. When it wears out, you get you another. Matter of fact, get you another for it, huh? Mm-hmm. So you be sure you got one.
Right.
For years and years, we've been told we need to memorize what the Bible says. And we need to memorize it. I tell you what's happening in this world today. A lot of preachers today are using the NIV when they preach.
Right.
I listen to Bach Radio in St. Louis, 91.5. They're a real conservative station. And they've got a lot of good things to say, but a lot, of course, none of those guys believe the local church, not a one of them. But a lot of them would read from the NIV. And a lot of the big churches today, they'll be preaching from the NIV. But listen, those preachers, they're older men. And they grew up, they cut their teeth on the King James Version of the Bible. But you know what's happening? Now they're using the NIV, but they were trained in the KJV, and they know the truth, but they're using the wrong Bible, and their people out there sitting there listening to them, they don't know the truth.
That's right.
Amen. And those young people, they're cutting their teeth on the NIV.
Mm-hmm.
You just take two generations down, if the Lord tarries,
what's
going to happen?
Right.
And people today, if you believe in the KJV only, and I'm in that group, and I meant to say this when the very start, and I forgot it. I'm not a Ruckmanite, okay?
Yeah.
I don't care for being a Ruckman at all, okay? But I just believe the Bible, okay? But they think we're radical now. You just wait. And we need to get to know what the Bible says. Or we need to know this issue. One last passage here, then we're going to go to this other handout. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Luke 4 and verse 4. You turn there, and I'll read what it says in the NIV. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. This is where our strength is. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. This is where our strength is, folks. And if we don't have our strength here, we're not going to have any strength. I don't have the ability myself personally to do anything. But it's through the power of God that we're able to do anything at all for Him. Luke chapter 4 verse 4, here's what the NIV says. Jesus answered, and this is in the temptation of Christ, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And I'm finished. That's all it says. But what does your KJV say? It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Why would they leave that out? It's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious why they would leave that out. You know that NIV is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous book. Let's go to our handout here. We'll read through this. And this, in preparing this, and I did this comparison many, many years ago. Actually, I guess I wasn't that long ago, back in 96. That's not that long ago. And what I did was to first of all make the comparison between the King James and the New International Version, and then just out of curiosity, as a quirk on my part, I picked up this little green demon. And I thought, I wonder what it has to say. And I was shocked at what it had to say. Now, I know that Jehovah's Witnesses today want to be classified as an evangelical group. I know they want to be classified as Christian, but they are cult. I know that they have changed their doctrine. We were at a funeral a while back. That's been a few days ago. We were at a funeral. Brother Cecil and Sister Mary there was with us. A lady on our street there passed away, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. We went to the funeral. I was amazed at what that preacher, so-called, preached. Because when I remember what the Jehovah's Witness believed, they said that Jesus Christ was just another man. He was a good teacher, a good follower, but he was not the Savior. Listen, that fella came that close to saying that Jesus is the Savior. He came that close. He didn't say that. Boy, he walked around that bush and stomped the dirt down good. But he did not say that. They changed their doctrine. You know why? They didn't want to be known as the cult. But I'll tell you something else. The folks today, what's been preached today in a lot of churches, and even we could go and say some Baptist churches, it's programs and plans.
Right.
And what a lot of preachers, they are preaching about Jesus Christ is no more than what the Jehovah's Witness said about him.
Amen.
He's the Son of God. Amen. And we come together to worship and serve and honor him. Our life is dedicated to him, and we're going to be with him in heaven. Jesus Christ is not a God. He is the God.
Amen.
He is the one we serve and worship. Anyway, you can read these and go down through them here with me. Luke chapter 9 and verse 56. And I tell you what, I'm just going to go down through here and read these. And then you can take and check it out for yourself. And I hope you do. I really hope you do. And if you find some of these that I've got wrong, you will do me a favor by letting me know. You will not offend me. You will help me, okay? And I need help. Amen. Boy, I mean, I need help. So, you check it out and let me know. Here's what it says. Redemption is left out of these verses. Redemption. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man is come to destroy, is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Why would the NIV and the NWT leave it out? Because there's no redemption for them. Everybody's saved. Universal salvation. Everybody's got a little bit of good, right? The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. If you start fanning the good that you've got, you're going to get a cold fire. That's what you're going to get. There's no good in there. We're wicked to the core. Dead in trespasses and in sin. And we need redemption at the hand of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's left out of the other two verses. Neither one of them believe in salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved? Take care, aren't you glad you're saved? That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. Matthew 9, verse 13. Repentance is left out. The King James says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And that's where the other versions stop. But we're called to repentance.
Amen.
Just calling is not enough, but calling to repentance. Jesus Christ has called us to repent of our sins. But if you don't believe you've got any sins, you've got nothing to repent of. See? There it is. Acts 8, verse 37. Can you believe that Acts 8, 37 is left out of the NIV and the NWT? Can you believe that? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Why would they leave that out? Because that's salvation. That's a confession of salvation. They don't want it in there. They leave that all out. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They leave out the part about forgiveness of sins. Are your sins forgiven? Amen. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Somebody said that term wash is an Old Testament term. Well, okay, it's been fulfilled in the New. I've been washed. I'm happy with it. Okay? Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That's left out by the other two verses. It's a sick world we're living in. Jesus Christ, not only is there no redemption, I mean, and I've not read all the passages. And I will say this, that you can take the NIV in some of the other passages and show some redemption. But I'm saying, when they start leaving it out, it won't be long until they'll take it out somewhere else. What's going to happen is that people are, first of all, they've got to accept the NIV first. It's just like you have 10 things wrong with you, or you have ten things, just 10 things, and then you take one away, or you change one, and you get used to that, and then after a while the second is changed, and you get used to that, and then the third one is changed, and you get used to that. That's what's happening. It's, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's a growing era. Because the foundation is wrong. That's what it's all about. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant which is confirmed before of God in Christ, the words in Christ are left out of the NIV and the NWT, left out. That covenant that God gave Abraham was confirmed in Christ.
Amen.
And not without him.
Right.
Amen. Galatians 4 and verse 7. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. How? Through Christ. If you don't have Christ, you're not an heir. You can't be a brother without Christ.
That's right.
Because he's the one that's let us be adopted into the family.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw all that stuff away. Well, I'd like to see that. Galatians 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, that's left out. It just simply says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but what counts is a new creature. You're not going to be a new creature without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All you got is warmed up old sin.
Yeah.
Turned over a new leaf. You know what? I turned over a new leaf one time. You know what I was on the other side? Same old garbage.
Yeah.
When I turned that one over, same old garbage. Just keep turning over. It's just a mess. We need a new creature in Christ. We are. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and the words of Christ are left out. That's why Brother Fager emphasized several times that the gospel is not the whole Bible. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. The words of Christ are left out. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Let me tell you, it's not enough just to believe.
Amen.
You've got to believe.
Amen.
On Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who gives everlasting life. It's what he did on the cross, not what I'm trying to do. Okay? It's what Jesus has already done. He's accomplished it. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. The King James Version says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us. The words for us is left out. Why? Listen, individual persons are left out of redemption in the NIV and the NWT likewise. Because it's all based on works anyway. We save ourselves, we keep ourselves, right? No. I was dead in sin and I had to be woke up.
That's right.
I had to be woke up where I could believe. And when I was woke up, then I believed. And I'm kept by the power of God and not by my own strength or abilities. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Another place that individuals are left out of redemption. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed, and he sacrificed for us. It's not just a general thing. I mean, that's specific.
Amen.
That's specific. I've been sacrificed. Pardon me. Christ has been sacrificed for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Left out that you. Now, that's not just Arkansas terminology, say you all. But that you means specific individuals. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been redeemed. I'm thankful for Revelation 21 and verse 24. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it, the NIV leaves out of them which are saved. Wow. You think there's going to be any lost people in heaven? I don't believe a word of it. Let me read you this. Revelation chapter 20. There's a lot of people. They get wrong ideas because they read the wrong Bible and because they read the Bible wrong. Revelation chapter 20. This passage beginning in verse 11 is talking about the great white throne judgment. It's talking about how that one day all of the lost are going to be brought out of the graves. They're going to stand before God in judgment. They're going to be judged out of the Bible for everything they've ever done, thought, or whatever. And then in verse 14, and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's eternal, right? Chapter 21. I heard it read this way. You see verse 15? It says, they were cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, but the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more lake of fire. There was no more sea. You think that's going to be the way it is? No. The Bible here talks about this sea, and you go back and read that in the book of Psalm 72 and verse 8, and it says there that Jesus Christ is going to reign from sea to sea. What does that mean? Talking about the millennial reign. But in eternity, there's not going to be any more sea to sea business. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth. That's what he's saying. But you know who I heard read that and say that that was a lake of fire going to be destroyed? You know who it was? I was pastoring in the state of Louisiana, and I went to a funeral, and there was a Catholic priest sitting. I'm glad he wasn't a Baptist. Right on. Be careful of your Bible, folks. Take the one God's given you and use it. And I pray God bless you. I thank you for letting me come. I've enjoyed this study. I pray it's been a help to you.